Tonight, I want to look at a different way of how do I know what truth is. And the way I have this, like I stressed this morning, it's very important for us to notice a society and to come. All we have to do is look in the history, not only of the world history, look in the Christian history. Look at what has gone on from generation to generation. There has been fighting and feuding since time began. Since Cain slaughtered Abel, there has always been distrust, fighting, destruction. So God says, I want you to pay attention to dealing with life. See, we accept the idea that life is here. We accept the idea as we get older and a little wiser, I hope, that not everything's going to work out like we hoped it would, and nothing is going to work out like we thought that it would, because we get hurt, and hurt goes so deep so often that it comes a time to when that one straw, that final straw that goes on the back of the camel, as we know, finally breaks the back. That's what happens to us in our society. We deal with so much negativity. We deal with so much brokenness. And we say, well, I can make it. I can make it another day. I can make it another day. And we even said, through Christ, I can make it another day. But then we see no change. So let's look. How do I know what is true? But look in John 8:32 on your printout. Jesus is speaking. The truth will set you free. We know the beginning of that the verse says, know the truth and the truth shall set you free. To know truth is to know Jesus. Jesus is talking about himself. Know me and you're set free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So when you know me, I am truth. Now, this type of truth you and I get messed up with, because he's talking to us about the truth about existence, the truth about life itself. So as God tells us, when you know my son, then I will make certain that you learn the truth. The truth about what? The truth about who Christ is. Folks, who Christ is what makes the difference. The people who do not know who Christ is, they have no hope. And I was talking to Randy a while ago. It just breaks my heart seeing people that are so broken and so abused by society and nobody seeming to care. And the ones who do care are afraid to get involved because we don't know what's going to happen if you get involved. So if I know the truth, who is Jesus, Jesus says, tell me about it. Now, so we'll sit back and we'll say, okay, if I know it, surely Jesus knows it. If I know it, I know that, you know, why would he want me to tell? Because the same reason, why would you ask God for his blessing? Well, God is a blessing. So why would we need to ask him? God is looking to us and wanting us to understand that when we talk to him, we are saying openly, I know you have the answers. Father, what did Jesus say? Father, I know that you hear me continually, but for these who are standing around, I pray out loud. Now, that praying out loud and talking to God out loud, don't you talk to God a lot of times? With, you know, especially if you're in the car, you have him in your mind, you're carrying on a conversation. I'm talking about you're talking out loud. And you don't really care whether anybody drives by and stares at you or not. You're talking out loud to God. And God says, I want to communicate with you. Because when you tap into me, my son, the truth, then that truth is what's going to set you free. Nothing that you think up is going to set you free. Nothing else can set you free. The signs of truth decay in a culture. The signs of truth decay in a culture. Now, as we go through these signs, I want you to think about our society today, okay? Immaturity, valuing tolerance more than truth. Do we not see that? Mm-hmm. Oh, listen, tolerance has become a religion within itself. I'm just going to tolerate anything and everything. So therefore, I find nothing wrong with anything and everything. That's right. You just leave it on. So immaturity. When I talk about immaturity, meaning valuing tolerance more than truth, immaturity focusing on our relationship with the truth, back up here again, Christ. Okay? We must pay attention to Christ. We must pay attention to our Savior in our own individual life. Ephesians 4:14, let us no longer be like children. That hadn't worked, has it? Forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Huh? When a lie sounds like the truth, or let's do it this way, when I'm looking at a lie and I want it to be the truth, why do you follow that lie? Because I want it not to be a lie, I want it to be the truth. I want it to be that good things are going to happen at the end of this situation, whatever it is. I don't want to look at the truth of the condition of our society, for if I do, then surely I cannot sleep at night. And so the Lord says, Larry, can't you get this through your head? Yeah, I've been hearing him say that to me ever since I can remember. But what he is saying to us is, it's all about me, Jesus. He's saying, it's about me taking care of you, not you taking care of me. The role of family, son, mother, all of this can change according to how old folk live to be. I see that, and I know that. I'm living that. As you know, Faye and them, her family lived that. Some of you may have lived that and dealt with it. But not so with Christ. You see, my role as a servant, my role as a child of God remains my role as a child of God. And Christ happens to be the head of the house. Christ happens to be the head of his church. That role can never change, will never change, because he says he never changes. So therefore, being immature in the Word of God, we think a program will work. Nothing more than the Holy Spirit. Doing different things, fine. But programming God does not work. Okay. Number two, and truth decay in a culture, immorality. No standard of right or wrong. No standard of right and wrong. What do people tell us all the time? Well, look, if it feels good, do it. Leave those people alone. Get away. You don't need to say any of this. Let them go ahead and destroy themselves. Well, that's not the Christian approach. I must do everything that I possibly can to speak the truth to them, Jesus, in whatever manner that I can. I can't make them, nor should I attempt to make them follow Jesus. But I should, and Christ should see my heart crying for the ones who don't. Not with a smile on my face and saying, oh, you're going to hell, and grin about it. There's nothing to smile about separation from God. Immorality. Ephesians 4:19. They don't care anymore about right and wrong. And they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. Anytime you will find greed, you will find impurity. The greed, the self-indulgence is always impure. You can, people say, well, you know, when you're talking about the wealthy in certain states or whatever, you know, oh no, they're the blue bloods. They're the blue bloods. Well, folks, listen to me. We are the red bloods. That blood of Jesus Christ that baptized us, it is through his blood that we're saved. So therefore, it doesn't matter which side of the tracks I come from. Jesus says, I belong to him, I belong to him. So therefore, we unite together. The United States of America is tremendous about this, folks. You can have wealthy people in society, got their house right here on the corner, and many, many people that are hurting in society living next door, and everyone's getting along just fine. Think of that. That's what goes on in this nation. It's not that we think that because we have more, we're better. It's because in a free nation and in that free spirit that Christ gives us, when we have more care and concern about those who don't have. And so therefore, God will direct us in how to help them. So we must do it. And I'm talking about must do it from the idea of, folks, let's just get what is evil is evil. What is good, okay? And quit messing it around. Unreality, not in touch with personal reality. They believe anything. Unreality. Well, you know, are you saved? Well, I'm not exactly sure what that means. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Well, I'm not that sure what that means. And, you know, by the time you get down to about the fifth or sixth question about Jesus, when you're talking to a person that says they're Christian and they keep saying that, what do? Well, you stop and you say, can we have prayer together? Not let me pray for you because you are screwed up, mister. Not that. Let us pray together. I hear that. Let God work that stuff out, okay? 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. Since they refuse to trust truth, they're banished to their chosen world of lies and illusions. Woo! Push away the truth, what's left? Lies and illusions. Just like looking in a mirror. And as I look in the mirror, you see all the as they would say at the review restaurant, it has a lot of marbling. I love that good way of saying fat and marbling. Well, I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, gosh, Larry, you have a whole lot of marbling going on. And they said that's good in a steak because it gives it flavor. But my friends, when we look at ourselves, we might try to convince ourselves everything's okay. And if you have the right type of camera, you can make yourself look okay too. They said, why do you have a suntan in the summer? Simple. Because fat looks better brown than it does. Gosh, I just left that one completely, didn't I? I'm sorry, folks. That rabbit jumped right in there. Okay, number four, illegality. Illegality. Everything is legal. Proverbs 29:18, where there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. Huh? Huh? Absolutely. Number five is idolatry. We idolize the wrong things. Romans 1:25, instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. They worshiped the things God made but not the Creator Himself. You know, isn't that just a beautiful landscape Mother Nature has given us? No! That's a beautiful landscape God gave us. Oh, yeah, I know the higher power does this, and you all know where I stand on the higher power stuff. His name is God. His name is Jesus. His name is Holy Spirit. That's who He is. I do not need to use even a pronoun. When I'm writing something, as you all know, and it comes in that pronoun of His or He or whatever on Jesus, it's always capitalized. I am capitalizing His name, period. And most of the time I use it all again in caps, in uppercase. Because especially since I know that that means you're shouting. So I'm going to do it. Number six is the one I read this morning. Injustice. When there is no standard of right or wrong, you can get away with anything. Yes. I mean, people rioting and tearing up buildings because they don't want to listen to a speech. Do you know what our parents would have done to us? For one thing, I wouldn't have been out after dark. And I better not be out with a ball bat in my hand and a mask on my face. Injustice. Isaiah 59 verse 14. Our courts oppress people who are righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth falls dead in the streets, and fairness has been outlawed. Now listen, folks. Being in a criminal justice system, and as long as I have, and dealing with this, no, the justice is not blind. I'm sorry. There is so much corruption. A wealthy person who can afford the right attorneys can get away with murder, decapitation of their former wife or whatever, and laugh about it if you have the right connections. So therefore, in the society, in every culture, since time began, there has been corruption. The only personality in your life that is not corrupted is Jesus Christ. That's why He says, I am the truth, the way. I am the light. I'm the door. I am anything you need. So, how do I know what is true? What's true? First of all, for us as Christians. Now, again, you got to watch this, because if that person is lost, if a person doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, why are you quoting Scripture to them when they don't believe the Bible? Why are you, do we remember anything about do not cast your pearls before the swine, because they will trample them in the mud and turn and rend you. Folks, there's nothing meaner than an old sow in a pen. And they will eat, if they eat their own little piglies, they'll sure eat anything else that goes in there. Very dangerous critters. But they will, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear? Well, for one thing, most people in this society don't know what a sow is. And most in this society, we have no idea what the real silk really looks like, because we have too much added to it. There I go on another rabbit. Let's go. Through creation, Romans 1:20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Which is the Lord again warning society. When you stand before God, you will stand without excuse. Because he said, I've revealed myself to you in nature itself. So are we so foolish to believe that, you know, nature just got here because of the big boom? And all the worlds the hands have made? And we're seeing more worlds after worlds after worlds, and they're saying, man, that's amazing, isn't it? You know, there really might be life out there. Really. Old dumb country boy like me knew there's life out there. I read the book about the angels. I know that angels, and believe that angels exist. And every one of us in here surely should know it. Because we didn't get out from being killed in combat, Brother Lonnie, or any other way, on our own. No, we didn't. That the Lord said, okay, you guys, you angels, go down there. Lonnie's in trouble again. Go ahead and pull him out. One day he's got to be around to aggravate the pastor. So the Lord jumps in, sends the angels. Every one of us have angels. We know that. Every one of us do. And I need to do a study on that again to show you how powerful that is in Scripture. Okay. Romans 1:19, the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes and there it is. But why then don't people see it? Because they don't listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And if that individual is not listening to the Holy Spirit, and when we preach the gospel, sing the gospel, teach the gospel, like we've been told to do so, and directed by the Holy Spirit, and if we watch as the Holy Spirit does not convict or they will not listen to the Holy Spirit, none of us can make it happen. We cannot make them get saved. But we can sure cry because they haven't accepted. Number two, how do I know what's true? Through conscience. If anybody has one in this society, Romans 2:14-15. Some people naturally obey God's commands, even though they don't have the law. This proves that the conscience is like a law written in the human heart, and it will show whether we are forgiven or condemned. That's Romans 2:14-15. And that's under the Century English version, it should be. What do I have there? CEV, yep. So we're talking about, well, let me read it again. Some people naturally obey God's commands, even though they don't have the law or they haven't read the word. You got it? This proves that the conscience, meaning, let's say we messed up and we didn't go to that individual God called us to go to. That individual's eternal life or eternal death is not based on whether you and I do what God's told us to do. If it is, there's a lot of people in hell because of us. God says, I'll show you another way. This proves that the conscience is like a law written in the human heart, and it will show whether we are forgiven or condemned. God says, I will speak directly to them, to their heart. Speak up, ask it, but I'm broadcasting, so you need to talk a little louder.
I've got a plaque, this Sioux Indian prayer.
Yeah.
And it was probably written prior to them ever seeing the Bible, but it's very accurate.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's right, yes, you're absolutely right. Thank you, sir. Proverbs 20:27. The Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. Woo! Nope. It comes up. It comes up. And I don't care how many pills you pop to put it out or put it down. It comes up. So why? Then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to admit to the Lord, don't be telling everybody anything, but admit to the Lord that we realize that only through Him. I really had a hard time with a statement I heard from someone I love this week. And that statement dealing with, I started it because I said, I'm so thankful that judgment is by God's hand and His mercy through Christ. Because if I was left to judge, I would send myself to hell because I do not deserve it. I do not deserve heaven. But because of who Christ is, then that's how I'm going. And that person I love has said, I deserve it. And I said, what do you mean? Because of the good that I've done. Now, folks, those type of statements just trample all over me. And it's an idea that's still in our society today, in Christendom, in churches. When we preach salvation by faith, right? Salvation by faith through grace of God gives us through the blood of Christ. We preach and teach that, right? Then why do so many, right after that individual accepts Christ and comes in, then they start saying, now this is what you have to do. This is the work that you've got to be doing or you're not going to get in heaven. I thought they told me that when I said yes to Jesus that I was heaven bound. I thought that's what the scripture says. Now all of a sudden man says, now that you're saved, so what happens? So many young Christians, and I'm not talking about age here, I'm talking about in Christ, back away from serving the Lord because they don't think they can do it. Because they're not like everybody else in the church who's doing everything right. And anytime you pull works back into salvation, it messes up so many minds, and yet you have people out there that says, well, no, a Christian wouldn't act that way. Do you think a Christian would do that, Brother Larry? I think a Christian would do about anything anybody else would. And when you're in this human form, folks, you are going to continually be messed up. Push that button over there, Brother Randy, so our air will come back on. Of Gene must be getting too warm over there because the pastor's sweating. Okay, then let's do it through consideration. That's number 3 on page 3. Proverbs 14:15. Fools will believe anything, but the wise think about what they do. John 3:33. Anyone who examines this evidence will come to stake his life on this, that God Himself is the truth. John 14:16-17. The Father will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. Okay? The Holy Spirit is in me. How long did the Lord just say that He's going to stay? Forever. He's not going to come in and leave. Now, why is this explained to us? Because through the Old Testament, you will see the prophets and the miracles throughout the Old Testament. It's when they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the wonders that they saw. And then the Holy Spirit would back out, meaning that human being, whether it be Moses or whether it be any of the prophets, God would say, okay, now it's time you live your world part of eternal life. Be human, but be a saved human through God's commandments. 2 Timothy again, Paul keeps warning his young man protege. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Huh. That sounds like a good series title, doesn't it? Yeah. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. God's commandment, okay? Again, Christian, listen to me. When we're talking about God's commandment from the New Testament, we're talking about the commandment Christ has given us that takes in all other commandments. Love as I have loved you. For see, if you love someone and you truly care about someone, then we know that true love, you don't want anything bad to happen to anyone you love. So that true love within us, when we love someone, we're not going to want them harmed. And then God says, I want you to love everyone. And, you know, as Jesus puts it to us, just like I love you. That ain't, folks, you know, it's you do not have a way out of love. I want you to love, he says, like I love you. And now you can look at that again too, Gene, and focusing on, I want you to love the type of love that brings salvation. And that's what love's about, where you don't say, Lord, please don't let me talk to them. I don't think I could handle being in heaven with them if they get saved. But what happens? You and I deal with the human condition. And God says, live life. We have a life sentence declared by God. And he says, you're going to go through this worldly life. And because I've created you to do that. I want you, he said, I want you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. I want you to enjoy life. I'm not coming into you to destroy you having family, having love, and enjoying the world that I've given you. I've given it to you. Enjoy it. But then, it is so obvious to us. But now one day there's going to be a time when I'm going to need you at that particular time. And that doesn't mean we walk away from Christ. It doesn't mean any of that. But what it means is, during when the time comes, you have lived your life, same with Moses, same with all of the patriarchs, all of them. Okay, I'm going to use you. But at least Moses, see, he made it till he was 80 years old, and then God put him to work. 80 years old, and God said, go to work. Huh. Okay. Through Christ. Yeah, through God's commandments, and through Christ, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I told you. Now, Gene, I told you this earlier. And life, no one comes to the Father except through me. John 3:33. Those who believe him discover that God is true. How will I know that God is real, true? Believe him. Is that not what Abraham did? This man who came from pure idolatry, he was raised in idolatry, he grew in idolatry, and all of a sudden, God speaks to him. And it is through that word of I believe. And God says, and I accounted that to him as righteousness, because he believed me. And we said, well, you know, that's such a small thing to do. Believing in someone, believing in a concept is hard for us to do. We have a hard time believing when somebody calls us and tells us something. Now, who'd you say this was again, and what country are you calling from? Think of that. Okay, here's what it is. Here's the last one. What do we do with the truth? We know it. We've went through all of that. Now, what do we do with it? First of all, believe it. Believe it, Colossians 1:23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news had been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Oh, Paul was, he was proud of that. He was proud that the Lord even allowed him to be involved with it. The next is, do it. If I believe it, I'm going to do it, right? Philippians 3:16, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Don't quit doing God's word. Do it. Well, okay, but you know, I'm tired of doing it. Really? Are you tired of having fun going out doing anything else? I never get tired of eating anymore. So why am I going to get tired of listening to God when he's feeding me spiritually? Okay, the next is stand for it. Believe it, do it, and then stand for it. 2 Corinthians 13:8, for we cannot oppose the truth. We must always stand for the truth. Now, if I am not, I must abide by the law of the land. Scripture tells me that. But there is a law that goes deeper than the law of the land. But I must be ready and willing to accept my responsibility that if I believe that God is telling me, you stand for my truth, and a government tells me you can no longer quote that scripture, then I will quote that scripture, but I'm also obliged to tell the judge I'm guilty. I have broken the law that you all have given me. I must be ready and willing to accept my responsibility to accept the punishment for my crime against the state. Now, the rest of it, I'll let the Lord deal with. I'm not going to sit there and deny, you know, okay, I recant. I'm sorry. I recant. Oh, gosh. Spread it. There you go. Believe it, stand for it, and then spread it. Third John, what do I have on your oath?
Third John.
Yeah. 1:8, we must support believers who go on trips like this so that we can work together with them in spreading the gospel. Missionaries, supporting the missionaries to go out. Paul was big on that, but Paul wouldn't let them support him, remember? He said, you churches support me, you'll be bragging about it all the time. And Paul was already feeling pretty confident in himself, so he was, if there's anybody going to do the bragging, it'd been him. Okay, Titus 2, second part of verse 7. Let everything you do reflect your love of the truth and the fact that you are in dead earnest about it. Let everything you do reflect your love of the truth and the fact that you are in dead earnest about it.